I've promised we'll discuss the SEMP's challenges over the last few years and how they've dealt with them all. But as a prelude to that, let's review a triumph for the SEMP, the year of 2018. Entrepreneur Richard Branson is the one who said, "If you aim higher than you expect, you could reach higher than you dreamed." But perhaps the SEMP story more accurately explores the thoughts of Tolkien, who said, "A single dream is more powerful than 1,000 realities." Really? Well, Selling the Truth is a human story of gifted and determined individuals who certainly have dreams. They are prepared to work incredibly hard and risk a great deal in order to revolutionize an old, moribund business. And despite the hugely volatile media environment, turn it into a world-leading success. As if that weren't enough, they have to operate in the controlling environment of communist China. This podcast is indeed a story that tracks the evolution of a news media enterprise, but it's also a story of individual dreams and decisions encountering Tolkien's 1,000 realities. In this episode, we explore the remarkable transformation that began with the building of high hopes and detailed planning, a time of great optimism despite the skeptics. From early in his tenure as CEO, Gary Liu talked of the prospect of moving the SEMP to new updated offices. "When I first visited the old headquarters, I was shocked. It was a dump. Papers and books piled high on windowsills, blocking the view outside. But the windows were so dirty, the view was compromised anyway. Several men told me about a bathroom urinal that was covered in yellow plastic police tape for years, indicating it was out of order. The place was a labyrinth, no convenient places for people to congregate. The senior executives had offices, and the rest of the staff was in cubicles or random desk arrangements that discouraged face-to-face interaction. It was dark, a place that seemed without inspiration. But when I talked with people about a possible move to new offices, many seemed incapable of imagining how a new environment could make any difference at all." One employee who had been at the SEMP for decades was highly skeptical that any meaningful change could result from new leadership. He said he stayed at the paper because he needed the job.
Well, at the time, a lot of us had experienced multiple editors, multiple visions, multiple change of directions over the years. I was also here before the handover, so a real multiple change in the direction generally of how news is covered, how it's designed, you know, all the aspects of what the newspaper is. So when someone comes in new, you expect to hear that mission statement.
There were many others who felt the same way. But Gary Liu, as CEO, was not deterred. He saw this plan for new offices as a strategic and purposeful opportunity rather than an act of self-indulgence or an effort to look cool, or as he said, not a shining toy to impress visitors. He intended the move to be a clear signal that SEMP was not a tired newspaper, but a content company with architecture designed to create an inviting environment built for speed, as the elegant yet hip place to pursue the profession of journalism with global impact. It would send the message, we're the kind of company whose events host the world's important thinkers, whose content goes from our lips and keypads to the ears and eyes of the world. The physicality of the new place would in fact be an integral part of a multifaceted rebranding of the entire company. Much like Apple Computer's headquarters today represent a particular mindset, an Apple ethos. The intention in part was to dramatically shift the nature of SEMP's human capital and its development affecting each employee's relationship with the company, not least hope and confidence in its future. The SEMP had already embarked on expanding its mentorship program so that every employee who was seeking development could get it, and there was talk of a company hackathon, during which employees would identify problems and suggest ways to solve them. And there were other employee-focused plans under consideration. The big kahuna, though, was the planned new office, which Gary saw as fostering one of the six core values of the new SEMP, namely creating a diverse, joyful, vibrant environment. he would be transplanting the SEMP's workforce into a more fully developed brand with new and greater capabilities physically and, crucially, motivationally. I told Gary about employees, like the fellow I mentioned earlier, who said they'd rather get a raise than move to a new office. Here's what he said.
I'm not surprised that sentiment exists. I'm not too concerned that that sentiment exists, because I don't think anyone in this company, or most people in this company, understands what a different working environment actually means, because most of our employees have never experienced it.
And he knew they'd be unprepared for the plan to eliminate most individual workspaces and cubicles in the new offices.
One cultural thing that's going to be very interesting to watch, because I don't even know how it's going to work out. We're moving to activity-based working, flex seating. We want the majority of our employees to have the optionality that they can sit wherever they want. We're actually investing in the technology to allow them to be a truly mobile workforce. The office is built in a way to reflect that in physical space. You no longer have an assigned desk. You can imagine the first and immediate reaction, and it's visceral, is, whoa, if I don't have an assigned desk, then it means my value to the company has diminished. I don't have a place to call my own. I can't put my potted plant in my documents. I'm being devalued. People are starting, really starting, to voice these negative opinions about flex seating, about optionality. In this company right now, I think we are just starting to turn the corner where employees feel like if they belong to this company and are proud of the brand for which they work. For a long time prior to this turning of the corner, the job at the SEMP was a job. And the sense of belonging had a lot to do with the ownership of physical space, of responsibilities, of things. So for this to work, there has to be a sense of belonging to the company, that this brand that I work for is what I own. I own the entirety of it. I own every output of this company. I own the reputation of this company out in the marketplace. I own all of these things. It's not just about my physical space that represents, you know, my work and my things and my paycheck. I think when we get there culturally, of people coming into work and saying, I'm a part of the South China Morning Post and I'm proud of that, then the idea of this entire office is your workplace, is your workspace, wherever you want to sit, there's your optionality. I think that when we make that cultural shift, then it starts to make sense. Activity-based working starts to make sense. Flex seating starts to make sense. It gives you the opportunity to go meet new people on a daily basis. But when a part of our legacy culture is still, this is my little world, and without it, I don't feel safe, or I don't know where I belong, I don't know what my accountability is, then I understand taking a desk away will create this feeling of insecurity. But I do also think that culturally, there is definitely an obstacle to moving in a new space, having flex seating or activity-based working as the environment, as a default environment. And so I am worried about it. I'm worried. I absolutely believe it is the right move for the company. But I am very worried about how we react to it when we move in. And you know what? There is a very real possibility we move in. It is a disaster and we have to roll it all back.
But of course, it was not just the flex seating or hot design. Gary was engaged in all the details of the new headquarters. It was just one of the major changes afoot in early 2018. Here's how Gary put that.
February 6th, I think, is going to go down in SEMP history, hopefully for good reason, as a sort of relaunch for the South China Morning Post. And the reason is because a lot of things drop and happen on February 6th. The first thing that happens is that our new brand and new identity as a company is being launched officially. So our new flag logo, the masthead, that includes an entire marketing campaign for Hong Kong to introduce the new SEMP, a new SEMP that represents a turning of a page. So it is a new page, new possibilities, and new perspectives. We will be celebrating the arrival at the new office on February 13th. It's going to be a town hall, and then we're going to have a party across all the different social hubs.
The many-faceted launch went off without a hitch. The new space did not disappoint. It looked like Silicon Valley meets Hong Kong. 2 days after that official launch party, including the traditional roast pig shared by all amidst great fanfare, Gary personally gave me a tour of the place. And you'll hear the excitement and the noise in the background as he talked as we walked around the space. He was justly proud.
We have really taken our history into account and done our best to celebrate it.
Many examples of the SEMP stories are innovatively displayed. Each of the most important first pages in the SEMP's history were printed on zinc plates and now beautifully displayed in the new offices. All the paper's masthead changes are memorialized in glass. Gary had commented that the beauty of being an organization of 114 years is that they had all these assets in the archives which could become the art that would bring the space and its history to life. The boardroom is known as 1903, the date of the SEMP's founding, and pictures on the walls tell the evolution of its office spaces.
The rest of our conference rooms are named after local neighborhoods.
Each of them was consigned to a renowned Hong Kong artist who was offered the opportunity to put their personal stamp on the place.
Each of them is dedicated to somebody who has given a lot to the city of Hong Kong. And so this is obviously Lee Ka-shing. And we have pulled our file photos and an article that we believe is representative of the person from our archives, again, showcasing that no one understands Hong Kong better than South China Morning Post.
They even gave a decades-old printing press a place of importance in the new offices.
This is the original Heidelberg that we had, that we used in the probably late 40s and then 50s. We cleaned it, fixed it, and shipped it over here as an artifact. It's so important to understand that history.
But SEMP's future is the primary focus.
We should be guided by the lessons of history, without a doubt. The wisdom that all those lessons come from. But we absolutely should not be limited by its legacy.
There's starting to be a paradigm shift in Hong Kong when it comes to workplaces, but not for a lot of the traditional businesses here. And SEMP being one of those very traditional businesses in an extremely traditional industry, for us to take this first step, hopefully for us to be able to show some success. If you give your employees choice, and if you give them optionality, and if you give them a workplace that is supposed to make work life more joyful and interesting, that productivity and profitability and all these things will follow. If we're able to show that, then I think that hopefully there will be a change here in the city.
Thus, the giant TVs that showcase the new SEMP products and their data and analytics, as Gary said, they all indicate what the new SEMP really means. For example,
for this blue magnetic wall, every time we have a major project that we complete, the team that worked on the project will create a badge for it, and then we'll slap it on this wall as a magnet. So over the course of the next 3-4 years, I hope that we will cover this entire front page.
And there are plenty of places to fraternize.
This is the first of our social hubs. Honestly, over the course of the last 4 or 5 days that we've been in here, without instruction, people have just organically
gravitated to it. I noticed a number of people having what looked like actually meetings.
Yeah, and they're not even done. They're meetings, lighting is still not here, but this is the living room on the 19th floor.
There's even a pub called the Black Kite for socializing with beer served after 5 p.m.
This, of course,
is the Black
already legendary Black Kite. Everyone has been talking about it, and a lot of people in the industry or in Hong Kong already know about it, even though no one has seen it yet. So everyone has come to ask me, hey, I hear you have a pub in your new office. Of course, this is actually a workspace that happens to resemble a pub. Even though we are moving into the next chapter of SEMP's growth, we want to tie back to a lot of the traditions. And we know that Fleet Street journalism tradition, a lot of that happened in pubs.
And there's Elsie's Cafe, where one can grab a coffee or tea and catch up socially or professionally with others. But it's also clear the SEMP is no longer just a local print newspaper. One of the most impressive aspects of this new SEMP was its state-of-the-art video operation.
So here we go. Here's our first ever actual broadcast studio. A very real piece of work. Traditionally, a print newspaper that hasn't really focused on video or other mediums until the last few years. This is a significant investment for us. This is a studio that you would find at CNN, and we as a newspaper have installed one. And actually, let me show you the actual guts of it. This already looks impressive enough. Three robotic cameras on the ground, one robotic camera on the ceiling.
Yeah, it's good. It's a lot of fun to see it come to life and to see that we now have the optionality to, when we say we're investing in video, we're not really half-assing it.
I caught up with Matt Booth, SEMP's director of video, whom you met in earlier episodes of this podcast. He was excited about what he and his team were already doing with their new digs.
So I remember the first time that we talked back in the Leighton Road offices with their crummy meeting rooms and their moldy covered ceilings, and you know, trying to find a room was almost impossible to record a podcast in. And we were in the planning stage. You know, stage two of that was doing the stories and empowering young journalists to go out and do the kind of stories that they really want to do and give them the importance that they want to give it, and providing the support and mentorship of professionals who've been working their whole lives at big news organizations that have very firm ideas of what you can and cannot do. And we've really melded a team of driven by youth and guided by wisdom and age, I guess. We have a really diverse and successful content mix. We can, on the same week, be working on a video about durian-flavored hot pot flavored with chili-covered Oreos. And at the same time, we can be doing a 14-minute documentary on a family in the Philippines that sold their son to ISIS and lost him in the fighting in Marawi. So we've got the serious stuff. We've got the fun stuff. We've opened windows into parts of China and Asia that people haven't seen before.
We'll be right back. So the studios are important, but the physical star of the show is the atrium. In the midst of the several floors of space, there is a kind of podium for a speaker to address the entire workforce, with people standing at the balconies taking in the action from whatever floor they're on.
So, of course, this is the beating heart of our new office.
The morning news meetings will happen here. Of course, town hall. You also notice, of course, there's a lot of screens around.
Remember in Leighton, we had two. Here we have over 130 screens when the office is done, so that we're constantly surrounded not only by news, but by metrics, so we understand what's going on in the business.
It was at one of these town meetings that the effort to find a way to provide both sides of important issues was discussed. It's a subject at the heart of this podcast, and ultimately the realization or failure of the SEMP's goal to win credibility as a news media heavyweight. Gary talked of this often in these formative days, and particularly the importance of frequent and deep discussion about the difference between China and the U.S. on governance, cultural values, and the expectations of their populations. He described it this way.
There is this massive question, and this is the question that we're trying to actually discuss, is can the U.S. and China, with their different systems and their different ideologies, coexist as global superpowers? This is a debate that doesn't happen enough because there are so many fundamental differences in our cultures that have led to fundamental misunderstandings of the world that we live in. And we cannot, unfortunately, today see eye to eye on how to lead and what leadership even looks like.
And he wants to ensure the SEMP plays a role in encouraging such debate.
Our vision of elevating thought is to increase the people's understanding. And so we as a platform supposed to inform so that people understand better and then provide the opportunity for conversation.
We are very clear at the SEMP about what our role is in being able to answer that question. And the role of the South China Morning Post is to elevate the understanding of China in the world so as to facilitate China's integration with the rest of the world by actually being able to report on and discuss both sides of the equation, the good, the bad, or the optimistic and the pessimistic. That, we believe, is our role.
So 2018 and the new SEMP was a heady time, fueled by this dream, and it got attention.
The industry reception of our new brand and our new print redesign has been overwhelmingly positive. So we've been really encouraged by it. Obviously, our employees are loving it. If you walk around, you will see a large number of employees with the stickers on their laptops.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, there is something that we can call our own. Because before, the SEMP didn't really have a logo or brand mark that we could call our own. And of course, we made sure that this office just has it everywhere. part of the reason why we did new office and new brand and new redesign all in the same day.
And word was spreading. Gary showed me a picture of newlyweds who had taken a selfie in front of the SEMP's new masthead at one of Hong Kong's newsstands.
Our new newsstands. We only have two left that are brand new newsstands in Hong Kong. One is by the HSBC building, the other one's by Princess Building. They just went up on Tuesday with the new branding. And somebody just sent me this picture. We don't know who they are, but people are just, how cool is that? Somebody just sent me that picture this morning, an Alibaba executive.
There was lots to feel good about.
And you saw the new paper this morning. It looks better now, huh?
I asked how he felt at this moment, whether he was glad he had taken on this adventure less than a year and a half before as SEMP's CEO. He said it had taken its toll, but it was worth it.
The job? Yes. I've lost a few years, probably. Ages you fast. This job. I probably did underestimate the mental energy of taking on a challenge like this. But that is in no way, shape, or form complaining. I love it.
Individual employees were responding positively. I caught up with that employee who was skeptical when we first met. His views had shifted.
But there was a fundamental difference this time, that the new owners were prepared to invest. And that was a very different situation to all the changes we'd had prior to that. So if someone comes in, says their mission statement is to improve things, and then they start spending the money and you actually see some changes, pretty rapid changes, you become more optimistic. Firstly was the news that we were going to move to some proper offices in Times Square, out of this current office, which is a bit, to be honest, yeah. The hiring of new staff, the investment in the IT side of the business, general moving forward, spending money and showing that they actually meant business rather than talking the talk, which we'd heard many times before. We are a business, and to succeed in business, you have to spend money. You can't just hope that things will work out for the best. You've got competition out there, especially digital.
Gary had decided not to use outside consultants and instead chose him as someone in-house with an understanding of the SEMP's history to take it on. He rose to the occasion.
Gary and I worked very closely on the rebranding, and he'd obviously done his homework. He had studied other newspapers, told me what he liked, told me what he disliked, and had a very good eye for detail, even to the point of asking me to move a line by 1 millimeter. And that wasn't just because he's the CEO and he can, it's because he thought it looked better. So his attention to detail is incredible. And you can see that in the new office as well. Specially commissioned artworks for the bar, space, you know, everything in that new place is about caring for the staff, trying to get the best out of the staff and making their lives better. So I'm impressed.
Gary was quick to share praise for the effort of so many on the facets of the new SEMP. He detailed the extra miles so many went to get the multiple pieces of the plan pulled together. And he spoke specifically of this man's effort, how his expectations over the years and his participation had gotten more and more limited. And this gave him a chance to show what he could do.
I think that Carl did an unbelievable job. And the reality is that he's been here for multiple decades. The last few redesigns, he was in the right place at the right time with the right energy. And I love working with him. Expertise just shone through. And here's what's so lovely about it.
Gary's delight with the result was palpable. An employee response to the new brand was positive.
Our employees are loving it. If you walk around, you will see a large number of employees with the stickers on their laptops.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, there is something that we can call our own. Because before, the SEMP didn't really have a logo or brand mark that we could call our own. And of course, we made sure that this office just has it everywhere.
And he saw that aspect of the rebranding as this man's personal triumph.
I got to take him with my group on his first tour of the new office. And the look on that man's face nearly made me cry. And now he's realizing that the signals that we're sending, that the investment that we're making in people, but yet we are still focusing on it being the best possible product that it can be. Just that one look, I mean, it really made all of this worth it.
As to the concerns about flex seating, that looked like a success as well, at least for the employees who had already moved in. Gary noted there was a lot more energy and people were making the design their own, exactly what he had wanted to have happen.
I'm extremely happy about how this all came together. I think
think that there's still some latent stress on how the rest of the business is going to adjust to a new working environment, to different expectations, to this culture that we've been talking about. But the first week has given us a glimpse of how this new space will really change the way that we work.
You guys like it?
Very good.
Okay,
very good.
I'm glad you guys enjoy it.
Yeah.
As remarkable as the office move was, it was just one piece of the new SEMP. Gary wanted to be sure each employee could feel the breadth of this transformation and their place in the new organization.
To understand, it's not just because we have language around vision, mission, and values, and it's not just that we moved into a new office. Yes, those two bookends are really important, but there's so much that has also changed practically in between. Operating cadence, speed of iteration and innovation, transparency of communication, even corporate structure. All of these things have added bit by bit to this feeling of I can see and I understand the future of the South China Morning Post, and I see myself as part of that future. Right? Cultural language and new office are not enough for that.
Gary was soon lauded as a star by many, with requests for him to speak all over the world. The World Economic Forum named him one of its young global leaders. He was asked to speak at TED at its global conference in Vancouver. He spoke at Hong Kong's Foreign Correspondents Club and many other venues, and at all of them, he was well-received. The SEMP was on the move, with an empowered workforce. As Matt Booth put it,
the people that make up the South China Morning Post are quite an interesting group in that they are truly multinational. They come from all over the place. But all of them have a deep passion and love for this part of the world. And you can find Americans, Australians, Indians, people from mainland China, Hong Kong, Irish people. It's everybody's come here because they care about this quadrant of the blue-green marble. And they've finally got a place where they can tell the stories they've been trying to tell their whole lives.
In the next episode, we'll talk about what happens next in Hong Kong after the new SEMP launch and what impact these developments have on the plans for moving forward. Hang on. It's quite a ride through 1,000 realities. Thank you for listening. Selling the Truth is a WF360 production, produced by Susan Bird with help from Lori Kutz, fact-checking by Laura Kim, and sound editing from Transition Productions. Deep thanks to the SEMP employees, including tech and digital team members, reporters, and other staffers, and the many other individuals around the world who shared their candid responses to my many questions. Special thanks to Gary Liu, SEMP's CEO, for generously spending hours in conversation with me about his unique perspective on this story with worldwide significance. You can find links to more information, including supporting articles, in our show notes and on our website at wf360productions.com. If you enjoyed this episode of Selling the Truth, tell your friends and give us a favorable review and subscribe or follow us on your favorite listening app. Your feedback will help other people discover this important conversation about journalism, news, and the truth. How we search for it, how we access it, how we consume it, and in the end, who we choose to trust to deliver it.